So thank you very much. My name is Salman Basit, and this is a joint work, my co-authors at Watson, Long Wang, and Chun Chuan Tang. So I will briefly describe the give a background of the oversubscription problem and motivate it by giving examples from airlines and describe how oversubscription can be used in cloud. Then I'll briefly dwell on whether resource management in oversubscribed cloud is the same as managing a regular cloud. I'll talk about the mechanisms for mitigating overload versus policy, and then I'll describe the contributions of this paper, which comprises of its Markov model for understanding oversubscription in cloud, and some preliminary results on increasing oversubscription in cloud by terminating VMs or live migrating it. So let's start with the motivation. The oversubscription can be, phenomena of oversubscription can be found in many different scenarios, in many different applications, and many different types of real life examples. Airlines is one of them. So basically, the airlines a long time ago realized that all people who book their seats do not fly. And this is not necessarily nice from the perspective of profits, because people who don't show up, you know, the airlines do not fully make fully make profits on those seats that go empty. And any seats that go empty within a plane is loss of revenue. So airline bosses want to oversubscribe. So the idea is that they sell more seats than there are available on an airplane. This is good as long as some people don't show up, but if everybody shows up, there is overload. And so that's a problem. Similarly, in the case of cloud, this idea of oversubscription can be used, but when everybody wants to use the same resources, overload will happen. So why we can use oversubscription? There are many studies available which indicate that VMs do not fully utilize their resources. So just a brief definitions here. VMs in clouds like EC2, you know, are configured with so-called provisioned resources. For example, EC2 has these small, medium, or large instances. A small instance in EC2, for example, has 1.7 gigabytes of memory and 160 gigabyte of disk. Then there is this concept of use resources, as to how much resources a VM is using at that point. And we want to oversubscribe the resources of a physical machine so that the aggregate provisioned resources of all VMs running on a physical machine are actually more than the available resources of a physical machine, but at one point or at any point, not all VMs are using all resources at the same time. So the key question that we are trying to seek an answer to is that, can we oversubscribe the resources of a physical machine while meeting the SLAs that cloud providers offer? So a canonical example in the case of a cloud, this is an example of a regular cloud where the resources of a physical machine are equally divided between the different provisioned VMs. So in this case, the physical machine has 8 gigabytes of RAM, and each virtual machine has identical capacity, and it gets 2 gigabytes of RAM, so it can use different resources. But if you oversubscribe a physical machine by a factor of 2, then the aggregate provision resources on a physical server are of all VMs are 16 gigabytes, whereas the actual physical memory is 8 gigabytes. So everything works as long as they are using all the resources. But if the aggregate resource consumption of all the VMs increase, eventually the overload will happen. So the question is how to mitigate this overload. One may ask as to how the overload manifests itself for different resources of a physical machine, such as CPU, memory, disk, and network. So for the CPU, overload manifests itself in long run queues. So number of processes that are waiting to run within a virtual machine or within a hypervisor, the queue run queue length start to increase. when it comes to memory, the hypervisor starts to swap disk, swap pages out of the its physical memory onto the disk, and as a result, the disk traffic increases. When the disks are overloaded, or you know, the read-write latency increases, and the throughput, overall throughput of the disk decreases. And while network, when network is fully utilized, the available resources, the available flow bandwidth that can that different virtual machines can get also decrease. So these symptoms are not isolated; they are interrelated. So, for example, if a hypervisor is swapping a lot of pages to disk, then if the disks are locally attached, it will increase the number of reads and writes to the disk. Similarly, if disks are attached over a network and swap is also going over the network, then that will increase the traffic going over a network. Different agents, different, so for the case of CPU overload, many different clouds, or at least the managed cloud providers, provide this monitoring service where they run some monitoring agents within virtual machines. So if the virtual machines don't get a chance to run, and consequently the agents running within, monitoring agents running within virtual machines don't get a chance to run, the telemetry data or the cloud provider's view of virtual machines may become, start to become inaccurate. And similarly, if the network is highly overutilized, or then some of the virtual machines may start to become idle, so a kind of a reverse effect. At least the CPU or memory resources of some VMs may start may not be fully utilized because they cannot get the traffic, the appropriate flows to process data. So one can ask, that isn't managing an oversubscribed cloud the same as managing a regular cloud? If you only consider the network resource, then to some extent it is similar, because network is a shared resource, and and any flow wants to fully utilize the resource. But for the case of CPU and memory, which are typically not oversubscribed in regular clouds, the symptoms completely differ when those are oversubscribed in a cloud, and overload does occur for those resources. When trying to mitigate overload, there are several existing mechanisms available. And among these mechanisms, one of the key idea is stealing, that you can steal resources from one virtual machine and give it to the other. Another idea that's available is known as to simply terminate a virtual machine that's consuming a lot of resources. Another idea is to live migrate a virtual machine from one physical server that is overloaded to another physical server. And there are different mechanisms available to mitigate overload. The policy which governs the use of these mechanisms is the focus of this paper. And conceptually, one can think of there are two steps in mitigating overload. First, the overload needs to be detected, and once the overload is detected, then it can be mitigated. And can be mitigated by terminating a virtual machine, live migrating it, or using some kind of network memory. I should point out that it's a difficult problem, and there are many different factors that one can consider in determining which VMs to select to mitigate overload. Factors like performance of virtual machines, like how if I terminate certain virtual machines, what is the likelihood that other virtual machines will see an improved performance? What is the amount of quote-unquote useful work being done by virtual machines? So if a virtual machine has already processed some data, I don't want to terminate that virtual machine because it may lose that data. Cost and fairness are other factors. Minimal impact to virtual machines is obviously another factor. And all of these factors can be codified in service level agreements, which cloud providers promise to their customers. And at its core, it becomes an optimization problem that one can potentially solve. So what kind of optimization problem is it? So let me just describe start to build the background for the optimization problem to which this oversubscription problem, which has mechanisms for mitigating overload using terminating a virtual machine, and live migration belongs. So in the very simple case, there's the multiple constraint single knapsack problem that we have objects of different dimensions and have different constraints, and they need to be, we need to pick up those objects that will result in maximizing our profit while meeting their size and volume requirements. So that's the multiple constraint single knapsack problem. And there are fully polynomial approximational, fully FPTAS algorithms available for this problem. Then there's the multiple constraint, then there's the multiple knapsack problem, which is in the literature is known as the classical bin packing problem, which is that given n items and m bins, and each item has a size and a profit, how can we fit those items within those bins, in this case servers, so that as to minimize the number of available physical servers. Then there is the vector bin packing problem. In other words, that's the multiple constraint, multiple knapsack problem. In this case, each item or each virtual machine has multiple dimensions, such as CPU, memory, disk, etc. And each bin also has the same number of dimensions. And how can we fit these items with multiple constraints within those knapsacks as to minimize the number of dimensions, minimize the number of bins? And then finally, there is the online vector bin packing problem, which is the same as above, but it also tries to minimize the number of moves across the VMs. So the underlying theoretical problem that governs this oversubscription, one can, at least I give it the name of online multiple constraint, multiple knapsack problem with costs of moving items between knapsacks. Right? So if we were to design a model for that, the way we could do it is, or the way we would design the state space for it is by, for each physical machine and for each of its resource, CPU, memory, and disk, that can constitute part of the state space. So for all physical machines in my data center and for all of its resources, for all of its resource consumption at one point, that will constitute my state tuple at one point. And then we have the other usual conditions, such as the number of how many VMs we have and how many physical servers we have, and what is the cost of moving one server, one VM from one server to the other, and what is the cost of terminating a VM. So the goal of this model is to determine the maximum number of virtual machines such that the utility across all these states is maximized, given certain workload arrival distributions. So maximize the utility across all these states while meeting the SLAs. So very briefly, one can ask, what are the SLAs that different cloud providers are promising to their customers? So a cursory look at the SLAs of public cloud providers reveal that they only provide rudimentary uptime guarantees and do not provide any performance guarantees. So for example, we did a recent comparison of different cloud providers, and Amazon EC2, the classical and canonical example for clouds, only provides uptime guarantee on a data center basis. So that's very weak. So the questions, I guess it's a long motivation, but the questions that we have investigated in this paper and we are investigating as part of ongoing work are, what is the relationship between overload detection interval and request interval arrival time? How much we can increase the oversubscription factor if we decide to mitigate overload by terminating virtual machines, and how much we can increase the oversubscription factor if we terminate virtual machines and also live migrated. Well, in this case, we're only considering these approaches separately, so terminating VMs and live migrating separately. The usual simulation setup for the live migration case, we consider two approaches, one in which only one virtual machine can be migrated at most one per minute, or another approach, or kind of the ideal approach in which there is zero cost of migration, so any VMs or all VMs can be migrated until the load overload is mitigated. And we define overload as if memory consumption of the physical server exceeds the 95 percentile of the total available memory on that physical server for 5 contiguous minutes. There are reasons and rationales for using those numbers, but I'll not dwell into that. And the metrics we use to determine that which scheme is working best is the percentage of VMs not experiencing overload for a certain period of time. This graph shows the percentage of VMs with uptime greater than 99.9%. The x-axis is the average load on virtual machines as a function of its provision capacity. So the physical server has 64 gigabytes of memory, and we are only considering overloading the memory. We're not overloading other resources. And all VMs have the same provision memory. So if all VMs have the same request arrival rate with a rate of 32.5% of its provision memory, then each VM will consume 650 megabytes of memory. So for example, if all VMs use 50% of their memory on average, then the server will be fully utilized. So the strategy we use in this case to terminate a VM or to migrate a VM is to select a VM which has the largest memory consumption. So the main insight that comes out of this simple experiment is that terminating a virtual machine increases or improves the uptime performance of all VMs by more than a factor of two. Over a do-nothing approach. And live migration does improve the performance, but the situation in which we can only migrate one virtual machine, at most one virtual machine per minute, has this step function-like drop because at some point, all the VMs, we reach our threshold where all VMs are being migrated at the rate of one per minute, and we cannot just migrate more VMs. In the interest of time, I'll skip this graph and dwell on some of the questions under investigation, which can easily form a topic of a PhD dissertation. So some of the questions we are investigating are, to what extent a combination of terminating a virtual machine and live migration approach improve the oversubscription factor in a cloud. We don't necessarily have to oversubscribe all the physical machines by the same oversubscription level. We can oversubscribe some virtual machines by a large factor and some others by a small factor. So how does this asymmetry in oversubscription level leads to, asymmetry in oversubscription level leads to higher overall overcommit performance? Different cloud providers, or some cloud providers, provide this mechanism where SLAs can be defined on a group of virtual machines instead of a single virtual machine. So when that's done, how can that offering be used to improve the overall subscription level? And in this paper, we have only focused on the memory oversubscription, at least in the context of simulations that we ran. So what happens if the other resources, such as CPU, network, and disk are also oversubscribed? It's also an open question as to what is the best strategy for selecting virtual machines to terminate or live migrate. In the examples I showed, we used Pareto and exponential request sizes for memory. But if there is a virtual machine which is a big hitter or constant hitter in terms of its resource consumption, and if you constantly terminate it, then the user of that virtual machine will really get annoyed. So we need to have some fairness mechanisms built into our overload mitigation strategy. Another interesting question is that how SLAs should be defined in oversubscribed environments? And finally, how can we answer all of those questions for real data, for real workloads? We are investigating those questions, and if anybody's interested, I'll be happy to talk to them after the session. Thank you.
Isn't there a danger here that we need a very deep understanding of the applications in order to be able to put a cost on what means to kill one VM? There might be very specific algorithms. In my experiences with Hadoop, it's very hard to predict what happens if you kill one specific node. So isn't there a danger that we need to understand how each of the applications work to be able to do this?
Right, so that's a good question. It can be answered in several ways, but the way we are looking at it is that cloud providers define SLAs for virtual machines. So for example, you know, IBM defines IBM's cloud provide uptime guarantees on a per virtual machine basis. So as long as we can mitigate overload by terminating a VM, but as long as we ensure that the downtime of VM does not exceed those SLAs, at least from the contractual perspective, we are in good shape. However, that does not necessarily mean that a customer is not going to be annoyed by the VM termination. So that's one approach. But when we go in the realm of trying to predict the application performance, that's a very tricky area. I think there is.
It seems to me just an observation that oversubscription it's doesn't seem to do well when VMs are synchronized, because when I look at cloud middleware like Hadoop and so on, now when you got all these VMs which are like becoming active at the same time,
yep.
It looks like that might be in terms of application awareness as to when to oversubscribe and not oversubscribe.
Right.
It might be good to keep oversubscription away from these synchronized VMs.
Right. So if a cloud is highly specific, it is tuned for Hadoop workloads or Hadoop style workloads, then oversubscription may have less benefits. But for general IaaS clouds, there are more opportunities for oversubscription.